I'm thankful not just to have this opportunity to speak to you this morning, but also the chance I have to worship with you this morning. My family, we're blessed to be able to worship with you several times a year when we come visit, and we're always thankful for that. Always good to see the faces that I've seen here for a long time. Not old faces, but just faces seen here a long time. As well, it seems like every time we come back, there's a new family here, there's new people here, which of course is a great thing as well, so it's good to see you as well. And as well, it looks like we have a lot of family members of our members here today too, so it's always good to see you also. In 1 Samuel 16, the Lord told Samuel to go and anoint the next king of Israel. The kingdom had been taken away from Saul because of his disobedience and rebellion from the Lord. So the Lord told Samuel to go to the house of Jesse and anoint the next king of Israel. So Samuel goes to the house of Jesse, and Jesse brings seven of his sons there before Samuel. And Samuel comes to the first one, whose name was Eliab. And Eliab must have been what all of us would think a king should look like. Great stature, tall, probably good-looking, probably strong. And Samuel thought, well, surely this is going to be the next king. And this guy looks just like a king. He may have looked something similar to what Saul looked like, who we know was a very kingly-looking man. But Samuel learned a lesson that day. Because the Lord told him, he said, no, don't look on his stature. Don't look at his height. You know, because the Lord doesn't see like man sees. The Lord looks on the heart. The Lord looks on the heart. There are quite a few people here this morning, you know, my wife, my family, others who know me very well, but they can't see my heart. They cannot see my heart like the Lord can. Now, they can see some indications of what my heart is, but they can't see my heart like the Lord can. So the question for us to consider is, well, what type of heart does the Lord like? Is there a kind of heart that the Lord is looking for, that the Lord is pleased with? Let's look at the words of Jesus. I apologize if that's hard to see up there. But the words of Jesus in Matthew 5, where he said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." The pure in heart are the kinds of people that the Lord is pleased with. A pure heart is the kind of heart that he wants. Similar to this, in Psalm 24, beginning with verse 3, it says, "Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false, and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation." These are the kind of people, these are the kind of hearts that will be with the Lord, that the Lord is pleased with, those who are pure in heart. And that's really what we want to talk about this morning is the pure in heart and what it means to be pure in heart. What does it mean to be pure in heart? I think the word pure it's not an uncommon word, is it? I mean, that's a word that's used, you know, in our everyday life quite a bit. We might refer to maybe a particular material or a particular substance as being pure. Maybe pure water. We would describe water as that way. And what does that mean? I mean, it means that it's going to be consistent throughout, 100%. You know, if you have pure gold, it doesn't have any other metals in there. It is consistently gold throughout, 100%. There isn't anything else that defiles it. So what does that mean for our hearts? How can our hearts be defiled? Or what should our hearts be consistent 100% all the way through? Well, that's what we're going to consider this morning, really. And the way we're going to do that is we're going to think first about, I think, what the main principle, the main idea is to describe those who are pure in heart. We're going to look at a couple passages and think about that, what the main description is of those who are pure in heart. And then from that, I think, falls out some characteristics of a pure heart that should be seen in our everyday life. And we'll talk about those, some characteristics that fall out of that main principle. Before we get into that, though, I want to say very quickly that what it means to have a pure heart, it does not mean that we can have a pure heart all on our own. None of us can purify our hearts all by ourselves. We spent some time just before this lesson started in our observation and our observance of the Lord's Supper as a memorial to the death of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that death is what purified, gave us purification from our sins. So when we are baptized, we are buried with Him, our sins are washed, we're purified, we're cleansed from those sins. And none of us could have pure hearts without that sacrifice. But the Scriptures do talk about those who have been purified, we're called to live as those who are pure in heart. So that's going to be our focus this morning. We could spend many lessons talking about Jesus' death and the purification we receive from sins from that, but we won't do that today. But we want to talk about it, what it means to live as those who are pure in heart. Let's start looking, first of all, at a passage in Mark chapter 12, verse 30. It says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." Pretty straightforward message in this one, right? We got to give the Lord everything we got. Everything we have, we got to give to the Lord, including our heart. And there are other passages that give similar thoughts, say things like, trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know, serve the Lord with all your heart. You know, return to the Lord with all your heart. We got to give Him everything we have. Everything that's inside of us, we got to give to Him. There's nothing that we hold back. There's no half-hearted service or worship to the Lord. We give Him everything that we have. 100% consistent throughout our heart is our devotion to the Lord. Look at a similar passage in James 4. This one's a little bit longer. I hope it's able to be seen. But James 4, beginning with verse 4, it says, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says He yearns jealously over the Spirit that He has made to dwell in us, but He gives more grace? Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." What's this passage saying? We have to devote ourselves to the Lord, draw nearer to the Lord, and don't let anything else hold us back from that. Don't let anything else hold us back from our full devotion to the Lord, from constantly drawing nearer to Him. Look at the last verse. He talks about purifying our hearts. He puts it there with the people he calls double-minded. I don't think this is a word that's hard for us to figure out what it means. I mean, it has a literal meaning of two minds. I mean, if you have two minds, you're going to have a divided mind. A divided mind can't focus on one thing. Plus, we don't have to look far to see where this word is used in another instance. It's used in James 1, where he talks about those who waver, those who doubt, those who are unstable in their asking to the Lord. So it directly relates to our devotion to the Lord, our faith in the Lord. And he says those people are the ones who need to purify their hearts. And you look at the rest of the context of this passage, and what do you see? Submit yourselves to the Lord. Draw nearer to Him. Friendship with the world is enmity to God. Here's the lesson I want us to take away, the main principle for those who are pure in heart. The pure in heart are those who are single-mindedly devoted to the Lord with their whole heart. And perhaps there's a better way of saying that. That's just a definition that I came up with. The pure in mind, pure in heart, are those who are single-mindedly devoted to the Lord with their whole heart. Those whose hearts are not defiled with other loves, other obsessions, whose heart is not defiled with their obsession with football, their heart is not defiled with an obsession with politics or career ambitions or a love of money, as Jesus specifically points out in Matthew 6:24, can't serve God and money, right? Can't serve two masters. We have to give our full devotion, our full hearts to the Lord. In Matthew 5, the first verse we looked at, the latter part of the verse mentioned, said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And I've never always known exactly what that meant, that they will see God. Perhaps it has something to do with the fact that pure in heart are those who will be with God in heaven, that will see Him there. Perhaps that's a part of it. Although, I want you to think about this when it comes to those who are pure in heart being the ones who see God. In light of what we just read in James 4, the pure in heart are going to be those who have drawn the nearest to God. The encouragement there is to draw nearer to God. Well, those who are pure in heart, who are fully devoted to Him, will have drawn the nearest, will have the closest relationship with Him, will know Him the best. They will see Him as in they will know Him. Okay? So I think in that way, those who are pure in heart are going to be the ones who see God. Those are the ones He is pleased with. Those are the ones who will know Him the best. So I think that's the main idea. And from this are going to be some characteristics that all relate to this thought. To the pure in heart are those who are consistently throughout their whole heart devoted to the Lord and don't hold anything back from Him. So first of all, first characteristic we'll think about is that a pure heart is a sincere heart. A pure heart is a sincere heart. A heart with pure motives. A heart with pure motives. I don't have a dictionary definition for the word sincere, but I think we could all have somewhat of an understanding of what that means. That what it appears like my motives are, is actually what they are. There's nothing hidden or deceitful or selfish that I'm keeping inside that's different from what it appears like on the outside. Now, Jesus came down pretty hard on the Pharisees for this issue. In Matthew 23, He says things to them like, they do all their deeds to be seen by others. Verse 25, He says, "For you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they're full of greed and self-indulgence." Verse 28, "So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." So what it appeared like on the outside, their motives were completely different from what was on the inside. Completely different from their insides that were full of defilement, including what their motives were, right? Even their motives for their righteous deeds, for their service to the Lord. Verse 5, what He says there, they do all their deeds to be seen by others. So, can we do the right things for the wrong reasons? Can we serve the Lord? Or can we perform righteous deeds for the wrong reasons? Absolutely we can. Right? This same motivation to be seen by others, while often we probably don't put ourselves on the level of the Pharisees, maybe we should, but often we don't put ourselves on that level, isn't it pretty easy for this motivation to creep into our hearts, to creep in and defile our hearts? We have to be careful, don't we? We have to be careful. People who stand up here and speak, like I'm doing now, have to be careful. Men who act in the public worship have to be careful. Everyone has to be careful when they're doing their righteous deeds. Are we doing them out of our full devotion to the Lord? Or is it to be seen by others? This sincerity of heart, it's also going to spill into the rest of our lives, into our everyday lives. For example, can we have insincere hearts in the things that we say? We certainly can, right? I mean, the Proverbs has much to say about flattery. What is flattery? But to build someone up, to really make them feel good about themselves, not so that we can build them up and so they can feel good about themselves, but it's for their harm. A man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet, as the proverb says. It's for their harm, right? It's insincere motives. What kind of employee do you think? Those who are pure in heart, what kind of employee do they make? It's interesting because Paul talks about this in Ephesians 6, where he talks about slaves and masters, which typically we can always apply those passages to the employer-employee relationship. But look what he says here. He says, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man." You guys probably all have that person at work who works really hard, looks really good when the boss is around, but when the boss is not around anymore, really nowhere to be found, right? Really nowhere to be found. So they give the appearance as if that's how they work all the time, when the boss is around. But when they're not, it's not the case. Those who are pure in heart, we're not working for just our boss, are we? No, it says those with a sincere heart, those who are fully devoted to the Lord, as we're already talking about. When you're at work, you're working for the Lord. Okay, you're working there just like you're working for the Lord. And this passage I left off, we'll go on to talk about masters. It's the same way for you. So for bosses who have employees under them, it's the same way for you. You treat them with a sincere heart, just like it says for the slaves or the employees. We'll look at another passage here in 1 Thessalonians 2. Paul here is talking about his ministry to the Thessalonians, but an important principle, I think, just in regards to motivation in general. 1 Thessalonians 2, beginning with verse 3, it says, "For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts." So first of all, we can see here that Paul, there's a possibility of our motives being impure. As he says, you know, we didn't come to you with any impure motives. Okay, there is that possibility. Also want us to see, though, look at the last part. He says, "I spoke not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts." In other words, God knows our motivations. He can see in there. Our heart is exposed to our motives. So if we speak, if we act insincerely, He knows. He knows. So how foolish it is to try to hide those selfish motivations. The pure in heart, those who are fully devoted to the Lord with everything they have, they don't mind their heart being exposed because their hearts are hearts of sincerity. So a pure heart is a sincere heart. But it's also a humble and a compassionate heart. Went ahead and put those two together since they're kind of similar. But it's a humble and compassionate heart. And I don't know that much needs to be said about the way the Lord feels about those who are proud. I mean, I think we all understand the Lord is opposed to those who are proud. And He wants a heart that is humble. I think perhaps the most negative way used to describe hearts, a negative heart in the Scriptures, is that of a hard heart. I mean, you see that all through the Scriptures, right? A heart that's talked about as being hardened. And we can have an understanding, really, of what that means to have a hard heart by how those people who had one, how they're described. You know, you think about Pharaoh, who had a hard heart. He wouldn't listen to the Lord. He wouldn't listen to what Moses said to him, Moses, you know, being a messenger from the Lord, even when there were plagues raining down on him. He still wouldn't listen. He was still stubborn. You think about King Saul and his heart that was hardened. His heart full of jealousy and envy and just pure selfishness, pure jealousy over what was being said about David and not him. And other passages as well that talking about a hard heart, being one that is proud, being one that resists the Lord, being one that does not humble itself before the Lord. That's the total opposite of the heart the Lord wants. That's the total opposite of the heart He wants. He wants a heart that's tender, a heart that listens, a heart that's quick to hear, and a heart that cares for others, that's compassionate toward others, which is the compassionate heart that He wants. Let's look at a passage in James 1. verse 27. James 1:27 says, "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world." Now that last part there, I think we usually understand about being pure religion. You know, I think we have an understanding that religion is keeping oneself unstained, keeping oneself holy. I think we usually understand that that's what religion is about. But I always thought the first part almost didn't belong. You know, how can something just so specific about visiting orphans and widows in their affliction, why would he use that to talk about what pure religion is? It just seems like something so specific. But we can think about this. Visiting orphans and widows in their affliction, there's probably going to not be any way in which these people, orphans or widows, are going to be able to pay us back in any way. There's nothing that they're going to be able to do for us in return. So there's no opportunity for any insincere motives. There's no opportunity for any selfishness involved here. It's just out of a pure, compassionate heart that we care for others. That we care for others. Which, of course, comes from our devotion to the Lord. Our devotion to the Lord. So a pure heart is also a humble and a compassionate heart. But it's also, a pure heart is a guarded heart. It's a guarded heart, right? What do we mean by a guarded heart? Well, let's look at a couple passages of the words of Jesus to try to understand some of the lessons he teaches here. In Luke 6, in verse 43, it says, "For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." In other words, what's in here is going to come out here. What's in here is going to come out here in our words, in our actions, in our thoughts. What's in here is going to come out here. He says it, a similar lesson in Matthew 15 and verse 18, where he says, "But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander." What's in here is going to come out. So the heart's important, right? The heart is extremely important. If what's in here is going to come out here. There's actually a Proverbs 27, there's a proverb there where it talks about, as in the water, the reflection in the water shows this face. You know, you're not going to see anything different than this face if I looked in the water and saw the reflection. The same thing, what's in our heart and what comes out. It's going to be the same. It's going to be the same. So, Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." The last part there is kind of that same idea, that out of our heart are going to be the springs of life. In other words, it's going to guide our life. The things that happen in our life, or the things that we say, the things that we do, it's going to guide our life. So what's the teaching in this passage? Or what's the wisdom in this passage? Because out of our heart flow the springs of life, we need to keep it with all vigilance. We need to guard it, as some translations say. We need to protect it, right? Because what's in here is going to come out here. We got to keep watch over this. What comes into it? We got to guard it. We got to protect it. I really like the use of the word vigilance here. This is the ESV, but I like the word use of vigilance because it has in it the meaning that there are dangers. You know, you're not vigilant if there's not dangers out there. But there are dangers out there. And we are careful to recognize what those dangers are. We're careful to guard ourselves against those dangers. But I believe some of the other translations use the word diligence instead of vigilance, which also has a great meaning as well. The fact that diligence, meaning that this takes persistent effort, does it not? Persistent effort to guard what comes into our hearts. Okay? Because it's important. Because it's certainly important. You know, Kelly and I, we spend quite a bit of time making sure that our daughter, who's not yet a year old, making sure that she doesn't put everything in the floor in her mouth and eat it, or split her head open, you know, on everything that's around. Spend a lot of time protecting her from that. But you know what's going to be way more important now and in the coming years? Is that we protect what comes into her heart. Parents, you know, when our kids are young, we have a lot more control over that than they do. Protecting what comes into their hearts. Now, the hope is eventually they will take on that responsibility and they'll have more of a role in protecting what comes in. But when they're young, it's the most important thing we can do for them, to guard what comes into their hearts. And I don't think we have to talk much about what all affects our hearts. I think we have an understanding about that. With, you know, what we see and what we watch, what we listen to, the associations we have. You know, when we get a little bit older, the people we date, all those things have an impact on our heart. Parents, we have to guard the hearts of our children. We have to guard the hearts of our children. It's such a sad thing to see parents who have not done that for their kids. And then you see the kids as teenagers, and you see them as young people, and it shows in their behavior. It's such a sad thing. Lastly, characteristics of a pure heart will also be a penitent heart. Now, there was a man who was described as being a man after God's own heart. You know, I mean, what a description that is, to be said to be a man after God's own heart. And we probably think, just hearing that this must have been a man who never messed up, who never sinned, who never stumbled. That certainly wasn't the case, was it? It was said of King David. He was a man after God's own heart. And there are multiple occasions in the Scriptures that talk about David's stumbling and his sin. We get a real insight into David's heart in Psalm 51. This is a psalm he wrote after his sin with Bathsheba, where David really bears it all, really shows his heart. Look at a couple things he says in Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verse 17, says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." That's the kind of heart the Lord is pleased with. A broken, contrite heart when we do sin. A contrite heart coming to Him. As in David says in verse 10, he says, "Please to the Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." You know, coming to you with this broken heart, knowing that you, Lord, you can create that clean heart, that pure heart for me again. Characteristics of a pure heart: a sincere heart, a humble and compassionate heart, a guarded heart, and a penitent heart. Today, is your heart right with God? You know, we would love nothing more than you to make sure you today make sure your heart is right with God. If you've never been baptized, never had your heart washed of its sins, you have a chance to do that today. If you've strayed, please come back to the Lord with a contrite and broken heart, and He can make it clean again. If we can be of any assistance, please come forward as we stand and sing this morning.